Hey, 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 what's happening? Thanks for joining us this evening on the South Central Indiana News Network. You're listening to What's Happening, where we highlight local news and events for Bloomington and the surrounding region. Skip Daly here, flying solo this week as Julie Beasley transitions into her doctorate program over at Indiana University. A good week it has been. The weather has been great and the world finally seems to be reopening. Live entertainment is back and close to full swing. It appears as if fears are beginning to dissipate. Sadly, however, the damage has been done. In Bloomington, we will lose another beloved restaurant. Announced this past week on social media, Wagon Wheel stated that they will close up shop over the coming weeks. They will not sacrifice the quality of food in an attempt to get through the financial challenges brought on by the government shutdowns and restrictions. Sad indeed. They will maintain their meat counter as long as possible, according to their statement. Today is the 23rd of July. Let's take a look back at this week in history. On July 19th, in the year 64, the Great Fire of Rome raged for 6 days and destroyed half of the city. On July 20th, 2012, James Holmes sadly opened fire in a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, killing 12 and injuring 70 others. On July 21st, 2011, NASA's space shuttle program ended with the landing of the space shuttle Atlantis. On July 22nd, in 1893, Catherine Lee Bates wrote America the Beautiful after admiring the view from on top of Pikes Peak in Colorado. And on July 23rd, 1903, the Ford Motor Company sold their very first car. And our celebrity birthday today, turning 48, is former White House intern Monica Lewinsky. And today on the show, we welcome Monroe County Council President Eric Spoonmore, and our community update will be brought to us by the Porthole Inn at Lake Lemon, and we will feature the music of Lexi Len Minnick. But first, your local news headlines are brought to us by American Senior Benefits of Bloomington, providing innovative and smart money options for life and health insurance and investments. American Senior Benefits of Bloomington, online at asbofindiana.com. Now here's what's happening. The Biden administration reversed course on educational proposals aimed at imposing the teaching of critical race theory, the 1619 Project, and other similar curriculum into America's classrooms. The move comes on the heels of a 20-state letter led by Indiana Attorney General Todd Rokita pushing back against the proposed rule by the U.S. DOE establishing priorities for grants in American history and civics education programs. Attorney General Rokita said to be wary, however, as, quote, bureaucrats in Washington could very well stop using the term critical race theory while continuing to fund programs that veer into bigotry, divisiveness, and indoctrination aimed at discrediting American institutions and the beauty of our Constitution. We will continue working to preserve the qualities that make our republic a shining city on a wall, end quote. Richland B. Moslem Schools has announced their reentry plan for the upcoming school year, which begins for them Wednesday, August 11th. During a recent school board meeting, RBB voted to make classroom mask wearing optional for both students and staff. District Superintendent Jerry Sanders said the plan is based on transitioning back to a sense of normalcy. Attorney General Todd Rokita, once again in the news, has announced a $507 million settlement for Indiana as part of a $26 billion multi-state agreement that will help bring relief to people across the country who are struggling with opioid addictions. The agreement includes Cardinal Health, McKesson, and AmerisourceBergen, the nation's top three pharmaceutical distributors, and Johnson & Johnson, which manufactured and marketed opioids. The agreement also requires significant industry changes that will help prevent this type of crisis from ever happening again. The Arts Recovery Program is providing support to arts organizations as they get back to providing accessible art opportunities that strengthen Indiana communities. Visit IN.gov and search for Arts Recovery to obtain more information on those grant funds. The Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce is seeking a new president and CEO. The Board of Directors announced the resignation of current President Aaron Predmore, along with the news that a search committee has been formed to find her replacement. Predmore, who has led the organization since July of 2018, will stay on at full capacity throughout the search for a replacement and subsequent transition. The job listing states a deadline of August 31st for qualified applicants. And those are your local news headlines. We'll be back with more of what's happening after this quick break.
Are you concerned about your life insurance coverage during these uncertain times in history? I'm Adam Beasley with American Senior Benefits right here in Bloomington, and we can help you find the best coverage for you and your family. We work for you to find the best plan out of more than 150 companies. We can compare your existing coverage or start a brand new plan from newborn to 89 years old, from term to permanent. We'll find what's best for you. Call us at American Senior Benefits, 812-631-2305.
When you're preparing to buy a new home, the last thing you should have to worry about is the safety of your possessions. Allow Big Boys Moving to professionally oversee the transport of your precious belongings. Big Boys Moving is locally owned with years of experience. Whether your relocation is local or long distance, allow Big Boys to move you with an attitude of gratitude. Call today, 812-947-1479, or online at bbmoving812.com. Thanks for sticking with us here on What's Happening. That was the music of Lexi Lynn Minnick. Our community update is brought to us by the world-famous family-friendly Porthole and the gem of Lake Lemon. The Porthole features amazing food and their outdoor live music schedule is underway. Go ahead and check them out on Facebook for more details. The Bloomington Monroe County Metropolitan Planning Organization is seeking public input for the development of their Transportation Improvement Program, which is a comprehensive list of planned and funded multimodal transportation projects programmed for the Indiana Department of Transportation, Monroe County, Rural Transit, Bloomington Transit, and for the City of Bloomington. Providing feedback on the proposed list of TIP projects helps to shape the project investment priorities for the next 5 years. Visit bloomington.in.gov for more details. And this week we are joined by the president of Monroe County Council. Welcome back, Councilmember Spoonmore. How are you?
I'm doing great, Skip. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been a little while since we've had you on the show. I thought it would be good to get an update on what's going on. But as always, when you're on the show, we always ask for a brief explanation, difference between what county council does and what the county commissioners do. A lot of folks get that confused because in a lot of places, the council, such as the City of Bloomington, handles both the legislative and the financial duties. So talk specifically about what your role as a county council member is.
Absolutely. And it's very timely because we are getting into our main role as council members, which is the fiscal body. We've got the budgets coming up. And so that's what we really focus on is all the fiscal matters of county government. We don't have a whole lot of legislative authority that would be with the county commissioners. So they create the ordinances and the local laws through that body. And there's three elected commissioners that do that. They're also the executive branch of county government. And the county council is purely the fiscal body focused on the financial matters of the county. A little bit different than how the city council would operate, where they have not only fiscal authority, but also the legislative authority. And of course, with the city, the mayor is the executive member of city government.
All right. Now, you mentioned this being timely. Talk about the calendar year for county council.
So right now we are getting into budget preparation. And we will be executing that process here. We've got all of our requests out to the different departments and elected officials to be sending us their budgets in here in September, as well as parts of August. We will be going through all the budget requests that are submitted to us in October. We will actually approve the budget and adopt it. And then beginning in January, after it's been certified by the state, we will be into the official budget year for 2022, where we will execute it. So that's kind of the calendar that we operate on. It's always a busy time of year over the summer. And as we head into the fall, with lots of fiscal matters for the council to be considering.
Now, Monroe County has roughly 140,000 to 150,000 residents. What is the typical budget? I believe at one point you guys were somewhere around the $30, $35 million mark. What was last year's budget?
Yeah, general fund budget is going to be right around $40 million, I would estimate this year. If you add on all the additional funds on top of that, you're looking at closer to $75 million. It is quite a bit of resources that we're allocating, and it's always an important process, and we hope that the public will be engaged and give us their input on how best to spend this money.
All right. The obvious elephant in the room is the fact that we've had this health emergency over the past year and a half, give or take. How has that impacted county spending, and how does that weigh into this year's deliberations?
Well, last year was very uncertain for us. We didn't know how everything would kind of play out as a result of COVID. So it created a lot of challenges. We had to really modify our operations. So we had more remote working from county employees. And so that created some challenges, and being able to provide the same level of service that our residents are used to receiving. And just going through all of that required a lot of attention and focus and some additional resources to be able to make sure that we're providing the same types of services that people are expecting. What we have found over the last several months is that the financial picture is actually not as bad as we had feared it might. And so we're still being very cautious. We have seen a very large injection of cash coming to us here locally through the American Rescue Plan Act that was approved earlier in the year. And so that's going to be providing upward of $28 million in relief funds to Monroe County government. The city of Bloomington will have a share of about $23 million funneling in. So total throughout the community here, we'll be seeing an injection of about $50 million, which will substantially help our local recovery. We have 4 years to spend that money. We have to have a plan, and it's all outlined within the statute and the guidelines that the federal government has given us. But that's going to be a huge cushion for some of the blows that we had to absorb with the COVID challenges. But I'm really pleased with how the county managed all of the challenges that we faced with COVID-19. You know, one of the things that kept me up at night on a regular basis in 2020 and the early parts of 2021 was I'd never wanted to see this impact our employees. And we heard of other units of government around the state that were considering layoffs and reductions in force. A lot of employers had to go through that, I think, due to the very responsible fiscal planning that the county council had undertaken in prior years. We had good reserves in the bank, and we were able to weather that storm very well. So, you know, layoffs and reductions in force were never an option for us. We were able to get through it. And I'm glad that we were able to make sure that none of that affected our employees negatively.
Now, Monroe County has always had a significant rainy day fund, as it's been labeled. How deep into that rainy day fund did the council have to reach into, and where does that cushion lay at this point?
To the best of my recollection, I believe it was about $500,000 that we dipped into it to provide local relief. We understand that most of that we'll be able to recoup. And of course, we have a great deal of the American Rescue Plan funding in place. So we've already received about half of that. It's sitting in an account, and we're just waiting and determining how best to spend that, what types of programs and initiatives we want to undertake. So we didn't have to really dip too deep into the rainy day reserves. And we do have a healthy balance there of around $7 million or so.
Council member, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what might be a bit of a controversial topic. We're going to talk about annexation and how that is anticipated to impact the Monroe County budget. You're listening to What's Happening on the South Central Indiana News Network.
This is Danny with Weathervane Insurance Solutions. Not only is it especially important for our economy to support local businesses these days, but as your local independent insurance agency, Weathervane Insurance can shop you around with dozens of carriers to ensure you receive the most competitive price and, of course, the best customer service. Find us on the web at weathervaneonline.com. That's weathervaneonline.com.
Are you spending more time at home these days? If so, then you'll want to consider having your carpets professionally cleaned. Brothers Carpet Cleaning has been the region's premier cleaner for nearly a decade. Their truck-mounted systems are the most effective to remove bacteria, allergens, and pet dander. Brothers Carpet Cleaning will professionally clean your carpet, tile, upholstery, and wood. When it has to be clean, call Brothers Carpet Cleaning. Online at carpetcleaningbrothers.com.
I'm injury attorney Matt Lloyd. With an injury claim, don't leave cash on the table by not realizing all the Indiana laws that can help you. The insurance company won't tell you about them, but call me for a free consultation to learn all the important steps to get the best settlement. Call or text 812-333-MATT or go online to myinjurycase.com. Let's join forces and fight for a settlement that makes sense for you. 812-333-MATT.
Back, you're listening to What's Happening on the South Central Indiana News Network, and that was the music of Lexi Lynn Minnick. We are joined by Monroe County Council President Eric Spoonmore. Now, council member, we were talking before break about this year's budget. Of course, the budget season is just about to begin here over the next 4 to 6 weeks. Moving forward, however, we've got some interesting dynamic that's coming. Of course, Mayor John Hamilton of Bloomington has announced that they are re-entering the talks of annexation. Of course, that process began about four and a half years ago, early into his first term. A lot of folks thought that it was a land grab going on because his initial intent was about 10,000 acres of land. Of course, that's all county land. And of course, the tax dollars are going to shift from the county purses into the city purses. And of course, provisions are still going to have to be taken care of by the county. So where does that leave you guys in terms of budget talks and in terms of responsibility moving forward? And at what point do you guys start the process for the planning for that reduction of income?
Yeah, well, I think we're starting that process now, and we've kind of been looking at how that's going to play out. So what we have done, we hired an expert, a consultant, to analyze and explain the fiscal impact to Monroe County government. We hired Baker Tilly. They've done a lot of work in the domain of annexation, just to kind of look at the numbers that the city has provided and to give us their feedback on that. So county government has, as you know, a number of fixed expenditures and duties that serve all county residents, regardless of their city or county residency. These services are provided to everybody. So the income that supports all county functions may be negatively impacted by annexation. There's going to be impacts to many of the county's funding sources, including property tax, and that'll be due to the circuit breaker tax caps, local income tax, including local income taxes that are designated and set aside specifically for public safety, stormwater fees, motor vehicle highway, food and beverage tax revenue. We've got wheel taxes, excise taxes that will all be impacted. So these effects really do need to be studied by Monroe County, which we're doing. And this will allow us to provide residents and taxpayers with the information that they need to know concerning the facts on annexation and financial impact. So, you know, kind of the main thing here is there's just a lot of uncertainty right now. We're going to get this report back from our consultant, Baker Tilly, on July 27th that will be presented to the council during its work session at a public meeting. And that will be really the first meeting where this information will be presented to the county. So we're kind of waiting to see, and it's hard to kind of speculate between now and then on just how big this financial impact is going to be to the county, but it's something we certainly need to be preparing for.
And what does the timeline look like on this whole annexation? And will that financial impact be eased into, or is it a line in the sand where one day there's this and the next day there's not?
Well, and I think that's open to interpretation as well, too. Our consultants will be able to give us a more clear picture on that, but that's a big question. The annexation plan that the city has put out there won't be effective for 4 years, although they can approve it now. In 4 years, it will take effect. So that would give us that period of time to kind of ramp up or ramp down accordingly based on whatever the financial impact is going to be.
All right. Now, one other piece of information that has been out there actually was disseminated by you. About a week ago, council member, you sent out an email announcing that you would not seek re-election in 2022 when your term has expired. Now, you were caucused into office originally about 6 years ago, give or take. Is that right?
Yes, 2015, November of 2015.
Now, you filled a vacancy that was, I believe it was Councilmember Dietz?
Yes, it was Rick Dietz, and he had moved out of the district. And so that opened up the seat during his term. And so that meant that the Democratic caucus of the precinct chairs within that district all had to get together and elect a replacement.
All right. Now, talk about your decision for not moving forward to seek re-election.
Sure. Well, the main thing is that I'd been talking through this with my family, and it's a huge time commitment to serve in these positions. And these are tremendously important roles. And, you know, they're considered part-time legislative types of roles, but for all intents and purposes, these are really full-time jobs. And when you have another full-time career, it's hard to manage a lot of times. You know, I do think it's important that we have lots of opportunity for people to serve. I wanted to, once I had fully committed to not running again, I wanted to make sure to make that announcement early so that that would provide adequate time for anyone who may be interested to really learn about the role and understand the responsibilities, engage their interests on it, and assemble their campaigns if they decided that they wanted to run. So hopefully this announcement that I made here in early July will give people plenty of time to determine whether or not this is something that they're interested in doing and running, and we'll be able to be well prepared for when the campaign season starts next spring.
All right, go ahead and talk to us a little bit about your tenure over the last 6 to 7 years. You've obviously served well, you've served honorably, and you will continue to do so for the next 2 years. But talk about some of the highs.
Yeah, I think that there's been a number of sources of pride that I have having served in this role. You know, recently, just in 2020, last year, we set a minimum pay threshold of over $14 an hour for all county jobs. And that would include part-time jobs as well, so that all Monroe County government employees are now earning a living wage. And, you know, I think that was something that was really long overdue, in my opinion. So I was very proud of that. Proud of the many economic development deals and incentives that we put into place that have supported new job growth and capital investment in Monroe County, especially all the work we did with Cook Group and the spectacular plans that they have for the old GE manufacturing facility on the west side. And, you know, those kinds of projects are transformative for the community, and I'm proud to have contributed to that effort. Also really proud of the investments that the county has made in recent years in our public safety operations. You know, we didn't defund these people. We actually invested substantially, and that was the right thing to do. In 2016, we were able to pass a small increase to the public safety local income tax, which allowed the county to hire 10 new permanent road deputies. And that was a huge investment in public safety and the well-being of our community. And I still hear today from residents who were thankful that we did that. All the countless major infrastructure projects that have been completed or that are currently under construction, including new roads and bridges and roundabouts and trail extensions, connectors, stormwater improvements, you name it. And, you know, really have to thank the state for all of their partnership with those projects, as well as through the community crossing grants. We couldn't have done a lot of those major projects without the help of the General Assembly. You know, there's been other important capital projects in recent years. In 2019, we approved a major expansion and renovation of the youth services facility and did the entire $2.5 million project without having to borrow a dime. And I think that's a real testament to just how fiscally responsible this council has been over the years. And we've been really intentional with our budgets and ensuring that we have adequate reserves to weather the challenges. Kind of like we talked about before, it's been a big part of what got us through the worst of COVID-19. And for the most part, we emerged unscathed. I think looking back on the last 15 or so months, that I'm just grateful that we made it and that our employees were safe and we didn't have to initiate any of those layoffs or reductions in force. Again, it was never an option for us. And then probably what I'm proud of most going into this last year and a half of my term is that I know this county is in excellent financial shape. And as the fiscal body, that's our primary job on the council, to be great stewards of the taxpayers' dollars. That's exactly what we were elected by the people to do. And I think that job has been done very well. You know, the work is never over. And the community needs to always hold these elected positions accountable and demand the very best from our elected officials. And I'm just grateful that we live in a community that really cares about this stuff, because that makes a huge difference.
Well, Councilman, we want to thank you for your time today. And I'm not going to thank you for your service yet, because you still have a year and a half left and we're going to have you on
probably
a handful of times between now and then to keep us updated on what's going on with the county purse. All right. We would also like to thank our friends over at the Porthole Inn for sponsoring our community update. And of course, Lexi Lee Minnick for providing the music for the month of July. On behalf of Julie Beasley and the entire team here at the South Central Indiana News Network, my name is Skip Daly. Join us Fridays as we keep you in touch with what's happening.
This was a production of the South Central Indiana News Network.